Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Joe Donahue. Joining us today is physical therapist Matthew Goodemote. Matthew is the owner of Goodemote Physical Therapy in Saratoga Springs, New York. His 20 years of experience includes exercise-based therapy and manual therapy. Matthew is one of just 350 specialists with his diploma from the McKenzie Spine Institute International. Matthew, it's a great pleasure. Welcome back to the program. It's really good to have you here. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Well, let me just say, if you have an ache or a pain and you want to talk about physical therapy with Matthew, all you have to do is call us, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-34-TALK-1, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. I was telling you just before, my personal experience with physical therapy, I had never done it before, and then I had a serious injury, and man, you all are lifesavers. You're like the greatest people in the world.
Well, thank you. I'll take credit for that.
I'll say, I mean, mine was great, yeah. But the whole profession amazes me.
Yeah. I used to say, too, the people especially who work with spinal cord injuries and post-strokes or brain trauma, the things they're able to get people to do back to living is especially impressive to me.
You know, the thing, I hear people sometimes say, oh, I have to go to my physical terrorist. Uh-huh. You know, you hear that, obviously you hear that a lot.
Yes.
And I sort of was under maybe that impression.
Yeah.
And then when you go there, I don't know, do your patients have this? I went through withdrawal when I couldn't go see my physical therapist anymore. It was a hard thing. It was like, it was
we
like
develop
a divorce.
Relationships. So we have
I've just been talking yesterday about
figuring out ways to do memberships just so people can continue on after post-PT things and progressing them back. And so,
Because it's that, for want of a better term, a crutch, if you will, not a physical crutch, but it is good mentally to have somebody who's watching you and saying,
And if you have
try
a
this.
Quick question, we can answer it right there on the spot. If something new pops up, we can assess it on the spot. Yeah, it's definitely the case. So also insurances more and more are cutting people off before they're really finished in our eyes and the patient's eyes. So we want to continue until people really feel like they're ready to be done.
Okay, so what do you do about that? If they say, okay, you can go for 8 weeks, and you know, and maybe the patient doesn't know yet, but we'll find out, it probably should be 12 or 16 weeks.
Yes.
Then what do you do?
Well, we offer cash options for people at my clinic, but it is one of the biggest frustrations physical therapists deal with on a regular basis because the insurance dictate it, not the therapist or even a doctor. So for us, what we do is we do offer rates for people to continue on and do it through cash, not through their insurance.
The amazing thing to me is as you start to see improvement, as you start to see. Now, I went from not being able to walk at all to being able to, you know, go back to work and walk and drive and do all those things. And as you see the improvement, it does become rather addictive in the sense of, I don't want to stop this.
Yeah,
like, because if I stop, then I'm worried that I'm not going to be able to keep on doing that stuff.
Yeah. We also hold people accountable. So there's that process is once you get to a certain level, you can progress on your own. But there's a lot of people that will stop and then they end up back seeing us anyway. So,
well, let me ask you about that. So I just want to remind people that Matthew is here. We're talking about physical therapy, and you can join us 1-800-348-2551, and we'll get to the phone calls in just a second. 1-800-348-2551. In my situation, which I thought was interesting, was that this happened both with the doctor and with my physical therapist, was that I went to my first physical therapist appointment, and they said, well, you know, have you taken off the brace? And I said, no.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, well, have you put any weight? And I said, no.
Yeah.
And I said, well, they told me I shouldn't. And he said, okay, but nobody ever listens.
Yeah.
And that surprised me. And then when I said to the doctor, when I went to the doctor, he said, well, have you put weight? Are you walking? I said, no, you told me not to. And he goes, well, nobody does that.
Yes, that's often the case.
And I was like, well, that's stupid. Because I was like, by the letter, I didn't want to do anything that they didn't tell
me. Especially with your injury. It's smart that you did. Because if you had tried to go too far too fast, you would have re-injured. So.
Well, I had a bilateral quadricep tear, but the one thing that I was
because, you know, the doctor also put the fear of God into me because he said, you basically have one shot at this. Yeah. And if you screw it up, you know, you're
so
not going to do
it. Especially with a tendon repair, if you screw it up to try to reattach the repaired tendon, it can be catastrophic for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and again, it's just about how great you all are and knowing what it is that you have to do to make things better. I'm just curious, and then I promise I'll go to phone calls, but how during COVID there weren't the they weren't doing the elective surgeries. They weren't doing they weren't doing the hips, the knees,
correct,
all the stuff that you so the shoulders that, that you so often work with.
Yeah.
How did that change your business?
Well, we had quite a few patients pre-pandemic, and they had just finished surgery, so we were able to continue seeing patients in that regard. And we see a lot of back pain patients, and I told my staff that back pain doesn't care if there's COVID or not. So we still had a practice running. It was definitely smaller than pre-pandemic, but it's come back. So, and we also did a lot of virtual therapy, so we saw people over the internet.
Yeah. And that virtual therapy worked, I mean, for them and for you?
Yeah. There is a difference when you can see somebody in person and physically be able to put your hands on them. So if you had come in after your surgery, I want to feel what your muscles feel like, because oftentimes we carry tension in certain areas that that contribute to the pain and possibly the dysfunction. So we can alleviate that with different manual techniques. So that part was a bit frustrating, because there were people that I could see, if I could just you know, move your leg around, I could tell you can do this or this.
So tell me about manual therapy, of how that works. What do you consider to be manual therapy?
Yeah, so we're not there was an orthopedist at one time told a patient he didn't need massage anymore, and I challenged the orthopedist to come in for my massage because it was not a therapy or it wasn't a spa type of massage. So there's different techniques, and there's different things. We release muscle tension, and they call it trigger point release. We work on scar tissue mobilization, and what I like to tell people is mobility is your first priority. So it's mobility of the joint and mobility of the tissue, because if the tissue isn't nice and mobile, it's going to inhibit your ability to progress quickly.
And if you're doing that 1, 2, 3 times a week or whatever, whatever the doctor ordered, that's enough?
Yeah. So there's things you have to do at home, and we'll often educate people. Yes, your home exercises, but also manual techniques. There's certain techniques that you can do. There's a few difficult areas. For example, in the lumbar spine, we have muscles that are they're really difficult for a patient to get access to. So that's a particular area where a therapist can be beneficial. And my specialty being the spine, there's quite a few spots on the neck that if I can position the head just right, then I can get there. And that's difficult for a patient to do that. But usually once we've done it a few sessions in a row, it'll start to get a longer duration of relief, so you don't need to do it as frequently. And then eventually, as long as the person continues with their exercise, they'll be able to, you know, keep it at bay for a much longer period.
I've been out of physical therapy for a year, but I can still put my right leg up on my kitchen sink, which I'm very proud of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And move it down, up and down. You do all that stuff. That's really good. We're going to take your calls here in a second. We'll go to a break. When we come back, we'll take your calls. We have a lot of people waiting. 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-34-TALK-1. Matthew Goodemote is with us. We're talking physical therapy on Vox Pop today. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us, voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org. We'll be right back after this break. Good morning. Welcome. Good afternoon. I'm sorry. I'm used to doing a morning show, Matthew. I'm sorry. I'm
used to
doing the morning show. So good afternoon. Welcome to Vox Pop and to our program. We're talking about physical therapy this afternoon. Matthew Goodemote is with us. We welcome your calls. 1-800-348-2551. By the end of my stint filling in for Ray, I'm sure I will know that it's afternoon, and by that time, he'll be back. But anyway, 1-800-348-2551 or voxpop@wamc.org. Let us go to Cheryl, who has been waiting patiently in Lake George, New York. Hello, Cheryl.
Hi. Is regarding I had a mastectomy 10 years ago, and I'm having shoulder issues, and I'm wondering if this is connected. It's the same shoulder, and not really sure. I've met with a physical therapist locally and just wondered your thoughts on this.
Where do you feel the shoulder pain?
Well, it's pretty specific right up on top.
Okay.
I do have scarring. I'm aware I have scarring. Sure. Inside. I had radiation as well.
Okay. So the fact that it's right on top would probably indicate it's not related to the mastectomy. So there's a joint right on top called your AC joint, acromioclavicular joint.
Mm-hmm.
And right underneath there's a tendon that runs. And oftentimes as we get older, we get some degenerative changes to that specific joint and it starts to irritate the tendon below it, which would be the mm-hmm. supraspinatus muscle. There's very quick, easy ways to find out though. So if you went to a physical therapist, they can examine and do different tests specifically to that region and identify if it mm-hmm. is more joint related. And typically you mentioned the scar tissue and specifically from radiation, that can definitely impact mm-hmm. the tissue around there. But when I tell people if they're pointing to a very specific spot, then I believe it to be the shoulder joint itself. And so because you said mm-hmm. right on top, mm-hmm. that leads me to believe that's what's going on.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank
Cheryl,
you.
Cheryl, thank you very much for the telephone call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Judy in Woodstock. Judy, hi.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can. Matthew can too.
We both
okay.
can.
Good. Well, you know, I had to leave my car and take my cell phone with me, so I needed to make sure. Yeah. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have all kinds of skeletal and neurological myths, but the thing that I want to ask you about is lower back pain and piriformis syndrome.
Oh.
I would like to find a PT that probably uses manual techniques and that really knows how to deal with back pain. I've worked with some very good people, but I need to get a little different approach.
Yeah, so the piriformis syndrome is one of those that I'm not confident when people tell me that's what's going on, especially when they mention lower back pain with it. So usually the pain that they're feeling in the piriformis area is actually just stemming from the lumbar spine itself. That being said,
well, I have stenosis, so I'm sure that's true.
Yeah, so the joints of the back are but the reason why I point that out though is because when you're addressing it, you want to address the joints directly. So the lumbar spine joints, put those at the top of the priority list and make sure they're moving properly.
Right.
Because if not, they're going to refer that pain into the buttock area. Manual therapy wise, it's not just the piriformis, so you would want to obviously have that addressed. But I have often found that there's a muscle inside the pelvis. It's called your iliac. And it goes around the pelvis, the inner part of the pelvic bone. And there's people who have pain and you push on that particular muscle and it feels like it's the piriformis. And so it's one of those cases where just going specifically at the piriformis may not be effective enough. You would want to have somebody that is looking at the entire pelvic
area. Well, my question is, how do I find a PT who knows what they're doing with this kind of thing? Because they don't all...
the eternal question.
Yes. Different.
Right.
How
so
do I find the person to fix me?
This is common at my practice. And in Woodstock, I don't actually know of a PT down there to recommend to you. Generally, the wording you would be, though, is somebody who does manual therapy. So you would look for either a body worker or a manual therapist. And then specifically, if you can't find someone in your area like that, you would want someone that does have a specializing in the spine. And my training's McKenzie, so I'll put a little a fist bump for the McKenzies out there.
What is that?
Well, I'm close enough to Albany to consider it, but I didn't catch your last name. It's a little hard to... Get it.
It's Goodemote, Goodemote.
So
That's easy.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. The McKenzie method was developed by a physical therapist in New Zealand, and it's the number one treatment technique used for the spine throughout the world. So it's a very popular technique. My diploma, the reason why it's so exclusive is because you have to go away for 3 or 4 months to learn to get your diploma. There's several credentialed McKenzie therapists out there.
It's fascinating to me that how do I put this nicely? So if you know that it works, mm-hmm. then why doesn't everybody do that?
Well, so in physical therapists, there's a big push for research, and McKenzie is in the top end of that. We call it movement preference. So what McKenzie really identified is there's certain movements that will alleviate back pain, and there's certain movements that won't.
Yeah.
But we've also found that strength training is incredibly beneficial. So the big difference to me is that the McKenzie method is more the quick, short-term type of effect, and then you continue to do those mobility exercises while getting strong, and the combination of those two things leads to the more successful outcomes.
We have open lines on Vox Pop this afternoon for Matthew Goodemote. We are talking about physical therapy. Any aches or pains that you want to explore with a physical therapist, you can give us a call, 1-800-348-2551.
I have a better answer. So part of the difficulty in the spine is because there's often times that people are not listening all the way through to the answer for where the symptom is located, and we're using x-rays or MRIs to diagnose it instead of the patient's clinical presentation. So if you came in, the woman just mentioned that she had stenosis.
Yeah.
When I hear that, honestly, I block it out because I want to see how she moves. I want to see where the symptoms are located, because that tells me what the diagnosis is. And then I confirm or deny it with the x-ray or MRI.
Okay. So if you see her walk, you can determine whether there's stenosis.
It can be walking. It can also be through just movement. But stenosis, for example, it hurts with prolonged standing, and it hurts with prolonged standing and prolonged walking. So if someone comes in the clinic and they say they have back pain while they're sitting or while they're bending forward, it's not stenosis, even if they have a diagnosis of stenosis on x-ray or MRI. So the clinical presentation tells me what it's really is. So that's the answer to the question, because oftentimes we'll, as medical professionals, we don't take that 5 minutes extra to ask the follow-up question to identify, is it this or is it that?
Just for the record, those were both great answers.
Well, thank you.
You can pick one, but they're both really good.
Thank you.
Matthew Goodemote is our guest. Again, if you have any questions regarding physical therapy, we have lines open. We welcome you. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also join us via email, voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org. Let's go to Kristen in Saratoga Springs, New York. Hello, Kristen. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Kristen. How are you guys?
We're doing great. How are you?
I have a question about if you have a degenerative disc in your like upper back, lower neck area, what would be the best exercise to do to strengthen that area?
So with all my answers, I'm always going to start with this little slogan, mobility first and then stability or strength second. And so when you have degeneration, it's probably your C6, C7, which is the lowest cervical right at the top of the thoracic. And my favorite movement for that is called a retraction. And the way you do a retraction is you sit down in a chair and make sure the back of the chair is about level with the bra strap or the middle of the back. And then you simply lean your chest and shoulders behind the chair. At the office, we call it the don't kiss me. So if someone is trying to kiss you, you back up away from them, but you still look at them. And that retraction movement is the easy, simple, safe exercise to start with. And then as far as strength goes, it's going to be all the muscles of the upper back. So it's going to be exercises like rows, lat pull downs. And in physical therapy, we have these exercises we call T, Y, and I, which is basically you move your arms out in the shape of a T and the letter I and the letter Y. And we guide you to make sure you're doing it properly. But those would all be off the top of my head exercises for strengthening.
Kristen, does that help?
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Excellent.
Yeah,
thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Ted now in Little Falls. Ted, go ahead.
Hey, thank you. So what are any recommendations for hand injury from playing a lot of tennis a few months ago? Got some numbness at the tip of the thumb and pain at the base of the thumb. It's kind of a nerve injury where if you press between the thumb and the index finger where the webbing is, you can feel kind of like an electrical shock type of thing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem to want to go away. Any ideas what's going on?
I've heard of tennis elbow. I've never heard of tennis thumb.
Yeah.
But I assume they're all related somehow.
It's from pressing, I think, gripping too hard and just playing too much tennis.
It can be that, but I think
a nerve, and it seems to be located, like I say, right in the webbing there.
Yeah. Just in the webbing itself, you can take your thumb and index finger or middle finger and kind of I'm doing it so you can't see this, of course, but you push them together. So you put your thumb on the bottom part, the palm of your hand, and the finger on the top surface of your hand, and then you just kind of pinch them together, and you usually will find a tender spot there. And when you're doing this, it's not meant to be aggressive, so it'd be just a firm pressure, and you literally just hold that pressure until that tension goes away, until the muscle feels more relaxed. And I would do that as often as you can think to do. And the second thing I would do is just grab right a hold of your thumb and distract it, which means just try to pull it away from your wrist and kind of wiggle it very gently in a little bit and see if those two things help to alleviate the symptoms. And if they do, then it was just because something was getting hung up in there. And if they don't, then if this is something that persists for more than, you know, 2 to 4 weeks, I would have it looked at, because when you're dealing with nerve, if you don't address it quickly and get it dealt with, it can last and not go away. And so I wouldn't wait too long. It usually is something that resolves. If it is related to tennis, you stopping playing will alleviate some of that. I don't encourage you to stop, period. I just take a little bit of a break and see if it starts to feel better. And if it does, then you can confirm that it is coming from the tennis.
Ted, thanks very much for the telephone call. That frees up a line for you, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-34-TALK-1, talking physical therapy this afternoon on Vox Pop. Let's go to Amy now in Germantown. Amy, hello. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I have a question about timing on physical therapy. I had full reverse shoulder replacement in January, and I started physical therapy right away, I mean, within like 10 days, which was terrific. I'm having full knee replacement in September, and I'm just wondering if I should anticipate having starting physical therapy as quickly as I did with my shoulder.
Yes. After a knee replacement, I would definitely, within the first week, you are typically starting physical therapy. We at our clinic sometimes will see people, you know, within 48 hours, but that's going to depend more on the surgeon. So, but yes, you want to get in quickly. And with a knee replacement, just remember that the swelling is why it hurts. So no matter what anyone else may tell you, it's the swelling is why it hurts. So elevate that. And when I say elevate, I mean the foot pointing towards the ceiling elevation, not just above the heart.
Oh.
Above the heart is not adequate. You want to crank it up. Like if you're laying on the couch, the back of the couch would be a good height to put it on, because the higher up it is, the more gravity pulls the swelling out.
Hence my kitchen
and
sink.
And does the, you know, the ice machine that circulates cold water, which I use for my shoulder, is that useful in the knee as well?
Well, ice is good for pain control. And so it's a trick question for me, because if you're not having a lot of pain, then the ice, you know, it's okay to use. It's definitely safe to use, but it's not necessary to use. Ice, there's a mythology out there that ice will reduce swelling. It does not. Ice is what's called a vasoconstrictor, which means it slows blood flow down. So the reason why I recommend elevation and not ice as my priority is because elevation gets the fluid out of the knee. So elevation and compression are your two most effective ways to get rid of the swelling. Ice is great for pain control, not for swelling.
But at the end of a session, will you use ice on a patient for a while?
I don't. I'm one of those outliers, though. And it's partly because I'm more of a fan of compression. When I walked in, you noticed I have a compression sleeve on.
I did.
And so the reason why I wear that is to reduce, number one, swelling, and number two, to prevent it. So if I had somebody afterwards that I was worried about swelling, I would try to get them compressed more than I would try to get them iced.
All right. Let's go to Diane, who is in Florence, Massachusetts. Diane, you are on the radio. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. And my question is in regards to Achilles tendonitis, which is a repeat thing. And I went to an orthopedist who suggested, the office suggested that I have surgery, and I want to avoid it at all costs. And I'm wondering, when I had a back adjustment, the pain was relieved greatly. So I'm wondering if the two are related and what I can do to avoid that surgery.
Well, first of all, it's highly unusual to get a surgery for the Achilles unless there's a rupture. So I'm not sure why the orthopedist would want to do that. Obviously, I can't see your foot, and so I'm not positive. However, the second part is mentioning that an adjustment to the spine helped. So the heel is the S1 nerve root. It's where it distributes or distributes to whatever it's located in the heel. And so I would start with the adjustment, because it's very possible that the pain you're feeling in the heel is actually coming from the back. And if you've done that and it's not doing it, then I would advocate physical therapy to strengthen the Achilles and try to avoid surgery.
The reason for the surgery was a bone spur. spin had gotten
to remove the bone
bigger.
Spur. So the first step would still be the adjustment, because if you do get relief from it, that's the way to go.
Yeah.
Sometimes with a bone spur, there's things that you can do still therapy-wise to alleviate the symptoms, but it's going to depend on the size of the bone spur. So that would make more sense now.
Okay.
Yep.
Diane, we wish you luck. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I want to go back to Amy's question a minute ago about going in after hip surgery, I think it was,
knee surgery.
I mean, normally the surgeon would dictate that, right? I mean, you would hope that's the case?
It's definitely going to depend, yeah. So there was an interesting study done within the last 5 years, and they polled orthopedists and asked them how often they referred to physical therapists, and they thought they did 80 to 90% of the time, and it turns out it was only 10 to 15% of the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So as physical therapists, I would advocate for more referrals, for sure.
Yeah, how did they forget that?
It's, again, depending on the surgeon. So oftentimes, I think it's somewhat they feel, because they see 30 patients in a day and they sent, you know, 5 or 10 of them therapy, it feels to them like they're sending a lot to therapy. But when you actually look at the data, it's not that many. And some people need surgery. So in the course of a day, they're just scheduling for surgery. So, and there's oftentimes, this is as a pet peeve for physical therapists and certainly for myself, there's a lot of times where it's not known that we can help that condition. So as an example, with a bone spur, I would want to try physical therapy before trying surgery.
Right.
There's not many conditions I wouldn't want to try it. And if you go to a good therapist with integrity, they're going to tell you if they can help you or they can't. And so to me, there's no harm in getting to the therapist, getting the assessment, and seeing is there something that you can do to avoid the surgery.
And maybe this is just dumb old me, but it would seem to me just common sense to say, okay, if you're going to have a knee replacement or a shoulder replacement or a hip replacement, then that would be followed up by...
Yeah, those conditions are... It's very, very common. In fact, majority of those patients will get a referral. And there's very good orthopedics around who do refer other conditions as well. But the post-op, especially the joint replacements, the knee replacement, shoulder replacement, definitely. But the hip replacement, some of they're doing new techniques. And there are some people that I've talked to, you know, 6 months to a year out that didn't get recommended physical therapist. And now they are coming to therapy because it didn't pan out for them.
What would a new technique be?
Well, new as in like 5-10 years.
Okay,
new, not
but
new,
I
like
mean, what are they
week.
Making you do?
So it's an anterior procedure. So it's just a location difference as
I
to
see.
Where they're doing the replacement. It's a little bit more complex and it requires, there's a little bit more risk for the surgeon in there. But there's very good surgeons in the Capital District that are doing it. And the outcomes in the short term are very different than a posterior hip. In the long term, there's not a big difference. So.
Lisa, Louise, Pat, Dave, Doug, and more are waiting patiently for Matthew Goodemote to answer their questions. You can add your name to the queue by giving us a call, 1-800-348-2551. You can also write to us, voxpop@wamc.org. We'll take a quick break and be right back. Welcome back to Vox Pop and our discussion about physical therapy this afternoon. Matthew Goodemote is with us. He is a physical therapist based in Saratoga Springs, New York. Goodemote Physical Therapy in Saratoga. And it is very nice to have him here. And we welcome your calls, 1-800-348-2551. So let's go to Lisa, also in Saratoga Springs. Lisa, you are on the air.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I was diagnosed by a shoulder specialist in Saratoga with some arthritis in my shoulders. I'm a longtime swimmer, he didn't recommend anything really, so I'm going to presume I don't have a lot of arthritis. But I want to resume swimming, and every time I swim, I experience pain, even a little bit of swimming. So how can I swim? And what could I do to either before or after to kind of reduce the pain? And is it okay to swim if I'm experiencing pain from it?
So I'll address the first part. So when you're swimming, it's going to depend on what the source of the symptoms are coming from. So if it is arthritic discomfort, typically what happens is as you swim, it will usually get a little bit better. And then as you continue to swim, it will start to get worse again. With a tendon or a muscle, that tends to get better as you do more. And unless you're doing speed or really aggressive swimming, in which case it wouldn't. So the real key to this is going to be two things. One is if you're swimming and it's getting worse and worse while you're swimming, I don't advocate you continue to do that. Number two is the following day. So, for example, if you were to swim on a Monday and Tuesday you woke up and you felt like a truck ran over you, that's not a good sign. And so in either case, physical therapy is advocated, and sometimes it's a postural thing, meaning your thoracic spine is too rounded, and that's creating a difficulty for your shoulder joint to move properly. And so the source of the problem isn't actually the shoulder, it would be the back. And you can do all you want with the shoulder, but until you address the thoracic spine, it won't actually get better. So the key is to get the assessment to identify, is it actually the shoulder? And if it is, address it with mobility and strengthening exercises. And if it's the thoracic spine, then address that. And my guess is it's a little bit of both.
So it's the pain is always up. It's the next day.
Yeah.
And the more I swim, the more pain I experience.
Yep.
So,
that sounds like
he did say this.
That sounds like a tendon, in which case you would want to learn strengthening exercises for the rotator cuff and then for the muscles of the upper back. Yeah. But again, it's very important that you get that assessment, because I can't tell you how many times I've treated a patient with a shoulder problem that they did not address the thoracic spine too. And all it did was feel better for a little while. And then 6 months to a year later, they're right back because they never addressed the thoracic spine. So do both.
Now, will I damage anything if I keep swimming?
Possibly. So with a tendon, when it's alerting you the following day, it's telling you that you're doing too much, hence the pain the next day. Excuse me. So if you continue, then you can actually cause some fraying of the tendons. And eventually it could lead to even a rupture. And then that would require surgery to repair it.
Lisa, prevent that. Thank you very much for the telephone call. We appreciate it. We welcome your call, 1-800-348-2551. We go to Pat in Middleburg. Hello, Pat. All right. I don't see Pat, so we'll get rid of Pat. And we'll go to Dawn. Hi, Dawn. How about Dave?
Hey, Dave's here.
All right. Dave, you're it.
Okay.
It took three names, but we'll find one.
Oh boy, here I am. Thanks, gentlemen, for doing this. You know, this call might be almost identical to the lady with the swimming problems. Just substitute me at a drum set and my shoulder for swimming. You know, you may have answered.
No offense to her, but yours is cooler.
Swimming's lovely too.
It is. No, I know.
Yeah. Well, you know, and then you know, in the shoulder pain, and so it's like the old doctor joke. You know, doctor, it hurts when I drum. You know, hold my arms straight out. And I'm practicing that. You know, and the doctor says in his funny little accent, "Well, don't do that."
Right.
You know? And then deep in my left hand, sort of deep in the bones, you know, of the palm, bones inside the palm, there's just one little specific area in there that hurts.
Is the shoulder pain on the same side
as the... Especially when I play.
Is the shoulder pain on the same side as the hand pain?
No.
Okay. Two separate issues then.
Yeah, the shoulder pain's in the right,
and the
deep inside the hand is the left.
Okay.
Great question. Wow. Yeah.
So what you would want to do for the shoulder, there's a muscle called your bicep, which is actually, there's two heads to it. So there's two different tendons, and one of them dives into the shoulder joint itself. And that is often the one that's in the front of the shoulder that's causing the pain. And there's a couple different things. We would want to do some manual therapy to that to alleviate some of the discomfort and then build up the strength. And sometimes it is a technique thing too, where it is related to the posture and how you're holding your body while you're drumming. And that goes, when I say posture, that's not just the spine, it can be the shoulder posture. So sometimes people round their shoulders forward just unintentionally, and just learning to bring them back slightly could be all it takes. But that, you know, requires a little intervention.
Okay.
The palm of the hand part, there's a nerve right in the base of the wrist hand part in this, your carpal tunnel, and you could have some deep discomfort coming from there. And again, that would be related to hand position or the posture while drumming, and that's something that you would want to deal with. And it's often we do a thing called a prayer stretch, which is basically you put your the palms of your hand together, hold it in front of your chest with your fingers pointing to the sky, and then you try to keep them together as you slowly move the hands down your chest towards your waist, and you'll feel a little stretch in your wrist area. And I would be doing that before you drummed and after you drummed. And if it doesn't make it go away, then you would want to address that, because a carpal tunnel with a drummer would lead to problems holding on to the drumstick and could lead to more frustrations and pain and problems. So,
yeah, and I'm not a professional drummer. Thankfully, my living doesn't depend on it. You know, I'm a 65-year-old carpenter.
Oh, it's going to help.
But I have my eye on this really nice drum set I want to buy, and I just don't want I want to be able to justify that, you know.
Yeah, your carpentry,
like
though, that's going to...
car, you know. Oh, I need a sports car, you know.
The carpentry, though, would be affected as well. So your ability to hold and grip is going to be influenced by that. That potentially by that pain in the hand. So
big time.
Yeah, that would
it already is.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah. Don't wait too long in that, because there's really easy solutions for it to make it go away.
Okay, thanks very much. And Joe, you fulfilled one of my bucket lists, which is actually to speak with you. This is great.
Well, you're very nice. Thank you very much. Be well. Hey, good luck. Good luck in the drumming. Thank you very much. Hopefully you'll get the new one. That'll be cool. Doug is in, I think it's – Doug, are you in Tarrytown? Is that where you're in?
No, I'm in Barrytown.
So I should have trusted you, and I apologize. I saw Barrytown. I took a leap. So my apologies. Go ahead.
Forgiven.
Actually, it was Darren. I was apologizing to, but go ahead. Fine. Go ahead.
I wanted to ask about what I've learned is called golfer's elbow, although I think I have a bit of it that from actually playing tennis. I'm a little over 75 and have taken it up with a vengeance in the last few months. So I play two or three times a week, and I suspect that, you know, it's not heavy pain on the what they call the medial side, probably comes from not contacting the ball well. But I would come home and ice it, although I hear you don't believe in ice.
Correct.
And and then it's fine, you know, it's okay. I wear a compression band, or, you know, most around my forearm when I play.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get better, it doesn't get worse.
Okay. So one thing is
I'm wondering,
the compression band part of it is, it's definitely okay at this point, but you would want to start to work on some other things so you could get away from that. One thing that I would recommend is either with a tennis ball or perhaps getting a lacrosse ball, put the lacrosse ball on the forearm muscles on the inner part there, in the medial aspect, and go up against a wall like or in the doorway or something like that, and try to roll the ball up and down that forearm to get the tissue nice and mobile and loose, and in particular before you go play tennis. And then instead of the wrap around the tendon, I would advocate for a compression sleeve, which would go from about the middle of your forearm up over top of the elbow to the middle of your arm. And that would be something to wear specifically after, to minimize any type of swelling or fluid from the tennis itself. And then because during the activity, what's happening is you're using the muscles, so there's plenty of blood flow going on. And that strap, what that does is it takes some tension off the tendon, which is, again, fine at this point to use. But I would try to get away from having to use it. So the way you do that is getting the tissue in the arm mobile, wearing the compressor after to minimize any type of swelling that's accumulating. And then you would want to work on isometric strength and eccentric, which is a negative strength specifically for those muscles of your forearm, because ultimately you want to get them to be as strong as they can so they're more resilient to handle the tennis playing.
Doug, thanks very much for the phone call. Hope you're feeling better soon. Let's go to Judy in Hartford, Connecticut. Judy, you're on the radio.
Oh, goody. Okay. Hi. Thanks for taking the call. I don't know if there's anything that can be done, but what I'm getting progressively worse is I think it's arthritis in my finger joints, you know, in my pointer finger, in my middle finger, particularly on my right hand, which is the one I use all the time. Tips of my fingers are actually starting to turn away, like they turn, they're slanting away from center. And also in my center finger, it seems like my finger is actually kind of turning around.
Yeah,
I don't know. And I have enjoyed, especially through the pandemic, I was doing some craft type of stuff where I was using scissors a lot. And now I'm gardening using pruning shears. So, yeah. But I don't know if there's anything that can be done with physical therapy.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's kind of a stretch, I guess.
No, not at all.
Stop the process or to help, you know, should I wear gloves or little finger braces or?
So there's a couple things. I just want to tell a quick story because my dad has arthritic fingers. And so I was telling him and showing him what to do. So I grabbed his finger and bent it and it hurt like hell. So he was angry with me for a few days because it was sore. But it's revenge for my childhood. What you want to do is you want to range of motion, do range of motion exercises for the fingers on a regular basis and individual joints. So you would take the top joint and you would try to bend it as far as you possibly can, make sure it can go as straight as you can do it, and then go to the middle joint and then go to the base joint and then do all three joints at once. And I've had, like four or five patients just in the last 6 months to a year that came in and said the same thing, and they weren't advocated to do physical therapy, and all of them are moving their hand better. So I would absolutely recommend getting to a therapist to show you how to do it. And sometimes you need help in the beginning to do it, but it's the kind of thing, if it's a joint, the more you move it, the better it will be. You can't reverse degeneration, but you can minimize or slow the progression. And the way the joints get their nutrition is by you moving them. So resting and avoiding is not a good strategy for the fingers. You want to move them for sure.
Judy, thank you very much for the telephone call. About 5 minutes left, so we'll try to get to as many calls as we possibly can. Louise has been waiting very patiently for a very long time. Hello, Louise in Cheshire, Massachusetts.
Hello. And I'm so happy to hear this information, because even if it's not a topic I'm interested in, I still learn something. I'm doing finger exercises now.
Cool.
Perfect. I called regarding bursitis of the hip. It's regarding my husband. He has been to physical therapy. It's gone from a pain level of, you know, 7 to 8, but it stays around at 2 or 3. Mm-hmm. And is there anything to get it to go away?
Yes. So the first thing is it's been very long time since I've actually seen a bursitis that's just a bursitis. Most times it's associated with, especially in the hip area, it's associated with weakness of the glute muscles. And so there's exercises that are necessary to build the strength of the tendons and the muscle of the glutes, and they attach right near where the bursa comes in on the greater trochanter. And so you would want to make sure you do the strengthening. And an unfortunate part about strength is that it takes time. It's months to get it all the way strong, but it's worth pursuing because it can absolutely go away completely.
Woo-hoo,
there you go.
That would be nice.
That's good news.
Because we used to be able to, he simply got it by walking, and we are pretty.
It's usually the glute medius tendon that's actually the problem, and it causes inflammation around there, and then they get the bursitis, which sometimes a cortisone injection can help the bursitis, but you have to address the strength part, or it will just continue either persisting at that low level or get worse again.
Louise, I'm sure he tells you this all the time, but you're a very good spouse.
Thank you. That's very sweet, Joe.
Louise, thank you very much for the telephone call. Best of luck. Thank you very much. Let's go to David, who is in Amherst. Good morning. Good afternoon, David.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm well.
Great.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Having problems with my feet. I've broken blood vessels on the top of my feet and a very sharp pain in my left foot. Feels like something's sticking a knife down from the very top. Part of my ankle.
Not the best connection, but Matthew is nodding, so I think he heard you.
So just as a general for the feet, there's a few things that I go through. Number one, the muscles of the feet often, well, not often, they attach into the shin bone area. So you would want to address above, starting with the muscles in the outer part of the leg and going right along the shin bone on the inner part of the leg. And we do manual therapy to those areas to get the tissue mobile. And then in the foot itself, on the top of the foot, I would go directly in between the bones and seek out little sore spots of the muscles. We have these muscles called intrinsics. So I would work on them by just applying some pressure and holding on the pressure. And then I would work on the joint mobility of the entire foot. And to do that, there's a couple simple things to do. One would be just to do range of motion exercises where you're trying to pull your foot down into a ball and then trying to lift it up your nose towards your toes or toes towards your nose.
Yep.
And then the other thing would be practicing standing on one foot to just get the joints to move in coordination with the muscles. One last thing, I'm not a huge supporter of orthotics because orthotics often make our foot weaker and more stiff. There's always exceptions to that rule, but if you've been wearing orthotics, then I would advocate to take some time out of them and let your foot actually touch the ground and then move around without any support or any cushion on your feet.
That's a great, great suggestion. Well, we are out of time. I want to thank you, but I also want to apologize to the many people that we left on the line. A lot of people left on the line, a lot of letters I didn't get to as well. So that means you have to come back. You
sure.
You know the drill. Physical therapist Matthew Goodemote is from Saratoga Springs, New York. That's where his practice is. Matthew, what a pleasure. Thank you very much for being with
us. Thank you very much.
Very nice to
love doing it.
Meet you and to have you on the program. A great pleasure.
Thank you.